Hello, this is Atah Durakan with the Decatur Herald and Review for Tuesday, May 13th, 2025, coming to you from my home studio, and we start on the front page of this edition. Aberle plucks golden apple, surprised Shelbyville teacher, overwhelmed after winning education award. This article is by Valerie Wells, Shelbyville. You don't often see a teacher giving autographs, but Tim Aberle had the unique experience of his students asking him to do so. Aberle teaches history and English at Shelbyville High School, and last fall, a former student, Kara Tipsard, nominated him for the Golden Apple Excellence in Teaching Award. He knew he was a finalist, but he didn't know he won until representatives from the organization appeared Friday from behind the curtain in the auditorium at the end of an assembly, bearing a banner, a basket of goodies, and an oversized check for $5,000, which is one of the prizes. The Golden Apple Award recipients are given a paid sabbatical to Northwestern University and become fellows of the Golden Apple Academy of Educators, a community of educators who play an important role in preparing the next generation of teachers in the Golden Apple Scholars and Accelerators programs, initiatives dedicated to addressing the teacher shortage in Illinois. This year, there were 470 nominations, whittled down to 30 finalists and 11 winners. Each winner was surprised by a visit from Golden Apple staff at his or her school over the last 2 weeks. Keeping the secret was a major production, said Principal Kyle Ladd, who had arranged for Aberle's family to attend. Trying to stay invisible in the back of the auditorium until the big reveal. Several other staff members were in on the secret and helped orchestrate it. The surprise was sprung at the end of an assembly to congratulate seniors and celebrate Teacher Appreciation Day. The autographs came in when a staff member from Golden Apple handed out pom-poms and signs to the students to wave as they cheered and gave a standing ovation for Aberle. Some of the students went to him afterward and asked him to autograph their signs, which he did, laughing. I was in his class sophomore year and junior year, said senior Hannah Morgan. He was honestly one of the best teachers I've ever had. He was always the first person to walk up to me and ask how my day was. Fellow senior Kenna Prosser in Aberle's psychology class this year and has an inside joke with him due to her ambition to be a police officer. He's always got a big, bright smile on his face, she said, glancing toward the stage where Aberle was posing for pictures with that smile. He's good at engaging all of his students, checking in on us, and joking around when he needs to. Part of winning stuff like this is not being serious all the time. You have to also be laid back, and that's Mr. Aberle. Aberle was clearly caught by surprise, and Golden Apple President Alan Mather said his was the last of the 11 surprises, so he probably thought he hadn't won. When Mather and the others popped out from behind the stage curtain, Aberle said, "Wow," and he said it several more times as the students surrounded him for photos and congratulations. "This is amazing. Overwhelming and incredible, all at the same time," Aberle said. "This is an incredible honor and privilege, and I recognize that, and I want to thank all of you folks for making this a reality." After thanking his fellow teachers and Ladd, Aberle told the students that he hoped they would realize that every teacher is a Golden Apple teacher to someone, and he knows they have at least one in their lives. He urged them to go and tell that teacher thank you and show them they appreciate them, and to do it right away. You know who that special teacher is for you, who that teacher is that inspired you, that makes your day a little brighter, he said. It's Teacher Appreciation Day, and I know a lot of you have written letters, but whoever it is, whoever gave you that tough love when you needed it, whoever it might be, tell them. And there's a series of wonderful different sized color photos here. We'll start with the last one and work toward the front. Tim Aberle reacts to the surprise announcement that he has won a Golden Apple Excellence in Teaching Award at Shelbyville High School on Friday, May 9th. And he's holding a cellophane-wrapped gift basket. He's wearing his long-sleeve blue Shelbyville shirt and jeans, and he's surrounded by folks on the stage. Another nice one. He's surrounded here by many students. Tim Aberle gathers with seniors for a picture after winning Golden Apple Excellence in Teaching Award. And there's dozens of senior students on the stage, and the large, oversized $5,000 check is shown. Aberle's in the center, and he's waving. Just a few more. The main one here, Tim Aberle signs a poster for senior Kenna Prosser, and he's kneeling on the stage and signing the poster, and he's in focus and has a smile on his face looking at Prosser, and Prosser is to the right of the photo, laughing, head back, looks like a hearty laugh, and her eyes are closed, and she's a bit out of focus. And then finally, Tim Aberle poses for a picture with his wife, daughter, mother, and father after winning the Golden Apple Excellence in Teaching Award. And photo credits, Joseph Ressler Photos, Herald and Review. We'll now move on to the local news here. On page A3, police man sent sex abuse images. Tony Reed, Decatur. A Decatur man who is quoted as telling police he uses hallucinogenic drugs and has strange late-night conversations of a sexual nature with police on the, with people rather, on the internet, is now facing 15 charges of reproducing and possessing images of child sexual abuse. Tyler L. Pulliam, 34, is pleading not guilty to 9 counts accusing him of reproducing sexual child pornography. He also denies 4 charges of possession of pornographic film photos and 2 counts of the reproduction of moving images depicting child pornography. A sworn affidavit said police seized multiple computers and cell phones when they executed a search warrant at Pulliam's home on March 28th. Police also said they found a .25 caliber pistol with ammunition that Pulliam had no license for, and he was booked on an additional charge of the illegal possession of a firearm. The affidavit said law enforcement began investigating Pulliam's online activity after getting a tip-off from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. It said that Kik messaging and chat app had initially detected 11 files containing apparent child pornography uploaded and shared by the username Batty Bratty 7, which was checked to Pulliam. Detective Timothy Wisniewski with the Decatur Police Department, who signed the affidavit, said he saw 2 separate images composed of 32 smaller pictures and 30 smaller pictures each, showing children under the age of 13 engaged in a variety of sex acts. He also saw 2 videos of 29 seconds and 25 seconds showing children under the age of 18 engaged in sex with men. A review of records from Kik showed 18 instances where the username Batty Bratty 7 had sent files of child pornography to other Kik users over several hours on just one day. Excuse me. Tyler discussed having prior strange late-night conversations of a sexual nature with other people on Kik, said Wisniewski, quoting Pulliam during questioning. Tyler claimed that he did not know when these conversations occurred, but said they typically occurred when he was using ecstasy or hallucinogenic drugs. Macon County Circuit Court Judge Lindsay Shelton found probable cause to try Pulliam at a hearing April 9th, and he has been denied pretrial release on the grounds he represents a threat to community safety. The defendant is due back in court for a pretrial hearing June 4th. Good Samaritan Inn given $20,000 state grant. This article is by Donette Beckett, Decatur. Decatur's Good Samaritan Inn was one of 10 nonprofit organizations awarded a $20,000 charitable grant through the Charitable Trust Stabilization Program managed by Illinois State Treasurer Michael Frerich's office. Charitable Trust grants help nonprofits fulfill their missions to serve people in need by providing housing, food, and workforce and economic development assistance, the treasurer's office stated in a news release. Money in the fund comes from fees that not-for-profit corporations pay when filing annual reports with the Illinois Secretary of State, and not from personal or property tax dollars. Nonprofit charitable programs that are eligible are listed in two categories, food and housing. Here's an interesting article from the World page, New Zealand, humans catching up to sheep. Charlotte Graham McClay, Associated Press, Wellington, New Zealand, has this article. The vast number of sheep in New Zealand relative to the country's scant human population has been the subject of jokes aimed at New Zealanders abroad. It's true. The country is one of a handful in the world that's still home to more sheep than people. Still, humans are catching up, according to new figures, with a population of 23.6 million sheep and 5.3 million people. There are about 4.5 sheep for each New Zealander, government statistics agency data showed. That's down from 22 sheep per person in 1982, when farming sheep for meat and wool was New Zealand's biggest earner. Now, years of falling wool prices prompted by a global shift to synthetic fibers led farmers to change the way that they, or what they do with their land, the sector's biggest lobby group said. By land area, New Zealand is about the size of the United Kingdom, but it has a population of humans 13 times smaller than that of the UK. That means there's plenty of room for the sheep. For close to 150 years, the sheep industry was the backbone of New Zealand's economy, and numbers boomed, peaking in 1982, when there were more than 70 million sheep and just 3.2 million people. Before Lord of the Rings drew waves of tourists to the country, images of green fields filled with placid sheep against backdrops of snow-capped mountains dominated the country's marketing abroad. Over years of decline for global wool prices since, and despite recent rallies, the national flock steadily diminished. In 2023, Stats NZ, a government agency, said New Zealand in 2022 dipped below 5 sheep per person for the first time. The national flock lost a million more sheep in Tuesday's figures, which recorded livestock numbers as of June 2024. Toby Williams, a spokesperson for sector lobby group Federated Farmers, said sheep farmers switched to more lucrative pursuits, dairy, or the conversion of land from farming to pine forestry, in order to sell carbon offsets. If I'm really honest, the wool industry is almost at the tipping point, if not already there, of not having a wool industry anymore, he said. Dairy now holds the biggest share of New Zealand's agriculture and horticulture dominant exports market. Measures to bolster wool. The government drew up measures intended to slow the decline, including an announcement in 2024 that it will place limits on the scale of farmland that can be converted to carbon forestry. New government procurement guidelines launched in April urged the use of New Zealand wool products such as carpets and insulation in newly constructed or refurbished public buildings. Still, those measures are not expected to halt declining sheep numbers. Other sheep farming countries are recording similar trends. New Zealand's closest neighbor, Australia, the source of most of the sheep jokes about New Zealanders, also is home to more sheep than people. But the national flock is shrinking there too. The gap there is slimmer. There are about 3 sheep per Australian. And some medium-sized color photos here. Farmer Ross Turner feeds his sheep hay in his snow-covered paddock on the outskirts of Christchurch, New Zealand. Turner feeds the sheep in his paddocks at the outskirts of Christchurch, New Zealand. Mark Baker, Photos, Associated Press. Public safety. Police seek tips in arson case, Decatur. The Decatur Police Department needs the public's help in locating a person suspected of starting a structure fire, this week's crime of the week. According to a news release issued by Officer Tucker Toole with the Decatur Police Department, officers responded to a report of a fire at approximately 9:25 p.m. on May 5th. to a vacant residence in the 600 block of East Wood Street. Both police and fire personnel arrived on scene and confirmed that no individuals were located in or around the residence, he said. And there is an image here, and it shows what appears to be a male in some sort of red puffy coat or vest, wearing gray pants or dark pants, dark shoes, a hat perhaps backward. It's a very blurry photo. Can't tell the face much else. It's very blurry and gritty, and it's a provided photo. We move on. Poll shows doubts about Social Security. This article's by Fatima Hussein and Amelia Thompson DeVoe, Associated Press, Washington. As the Social Security Administration undergoes massive changes and staffing cuts ushered in by the Trump administration, an increasing share of older Americans, particularly Democrats, aren't confident the benefit will be available to them, a poll shows. A share of older Americans who are not very or not at all confident has risen somewhat since 2023, according to the Associated Press NORC Center for Public Affairs Research poll conducted in April. In the poll, about 3 in 10 U.S. adults aged 60 or older are not very or not at all confident that Social Security benefits will be there for them when they need it, up from about 2 in 10 in an AP NORC poll conducted in 2023. That shift looks very different depending on older Americans' political party, though. There has been a substantial decrease in confidence among older Democrats. About half of Democrats aged 60 or older are not very or not at all confident that Social Security will be there for them when they need it, a sizable swing from 2023, when only about 1 in 10 said they were not very or not at all confident. Older Republicans, on the other hand, have become more confident that Social Security will be there for them. In contrast with older Democrats, about 6 in 10 Republicans aged 60 or older are extremely or very confident that Social Security will be there when they need it, up from only about one quarter who thought this in 2023. The findings point to a partisan divide in the ongoing debate over the benefits program, which serves millions of people. When the 2023 poll was concluded, a Democratic president, Joe Biden, was in the White House, which may have contributed to older Democrats' confidence in the program. Now large changes, including mass federal worker layoffs, cuts to programs and office closures, are being ushered in by Republican President Donald Trump's Department of Government Efficiency, led by billionaire advisor Elon Musk. A planned cut to nationwide Social Security phone services was eventually walked back. Musk, who recently said he is preparing to wind down his role with the Trump administration, garnered widespread condemnation when in March he said on a podcast interview with Joe Rogan that the Social Security program is a, quote, Ponzi scheme, unquote. Those comments have caused some voters to feel less confident in the future of the program. Dennis Riera, a 65-year-old Republican in Huntington Beach, California, said Musk's comments have made him feel worried. Here's an interesting article from the Weather Page. Study: chimps drum with regular rhythm. Christina Larson, Associated Press, has this article. Chimpanzees drum with regular rhythm when they beat on tree trunks, a new study shows. Chimpanzees and humans last shared a common ancestor about 6 million years ago. Scientists suspect this ancient ancestor must have been a drummer, using beats to communicate. Our ability to produce rhythm and to use it in our social worlds, that seems to be something that predates humans being human, said study co-author Kat Hobater, a University of St. Andrews primatologist. Previous research showed that chimps have their own signature drumming style. A new analysis of 371 bouts of chimpanzee drumming demonstrates that the chimps clearly play their instruments, the tree trunks, with regular rhythms, said University of Amsterdam music cognition researcher Henken Honig, who was not involved in the study. When bounding through the jungle, chimps often will grab hold of the tall buttress roots of rainforest trees. Sometimes they pound them several times to create low-frequency sounds that can be heard for a kilometer or more through the forest. Scientists believe the drumming is a form of long-distance communication, perhaps to alert other chimps where one chimp is waiting or the direction it is traveling. It is a way of socially checking in, said Hobater, adding that each chimp has its own individual signature, a pattern of beats, that allows you to recognize who's producing that drumming. The new work showed that chimps from different regions of Africa drum with distinctively different rhythms, with Western chimps preferring a more even beat, while Eastern chimps use varied short and long intervals between beats. The research was published Friday in the Current Biology Journal. It's well known that chimps use tools such as rocks to crack open nuts and sticks to fish termites from their mounds. Tree roots can also be tools, the researchers said. Chimps are selective about which roots they pound, said co-author Catherine Crockford, a primatologist at the CNRS Institute for Cognitive Sciences in France. Certain shapes and wood varieties create sounds that travel well through dense jungle. The drummings are likely a very important way to make contact, she said. At closer instances, chimps use a repertoire of vocal calls more complex than scientists once thought, according to a separate study in Science Advances. Researchers analyzed how chimps combine sounds, such as a call associated with resting and one used to invite play, to create new meanings. In this example, the combined call was an invitation to nest together nearby at night. We have probably underestimated the flexibility and complexity of animal communication, said Crockford, who was part of both research teams. We're on the Nation and World page. It's E-Edition Plus. U.S. and China pause tariffs, triple-digit import taxes on hold as an agreement discussed. Circles by Jamie Keaton, Elaine Kurtenbach, David McHugh, and Ken Moritsugi, Associated Press, Geneva. The United States and China agreed Monday to slash their massive recent tariffs, restarting stalled trade between the world's two biggest economies and setting off a rally in global financial markets. But the de-escalation in President Donald Trump's trade wars did nothing to resolve underlying differences between Beijing and Washington. The deal lasts 90 days, creating time for U.S. and Chinese negotiators to reach a more substantive agreement. But the pause also leaves tariffs higher than before. Trump started ramping them up last month. Businesses and investors must contend with uncertainty about whether the truce will last. U.S. Trade Representative Jamison Greer said the U.S. agreed to drop the 145% tax Trump imposed last month to 30%. China agreed to lower its tariff rate on U.S. goods from 125% to 10%. Greer and Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent announced the tariff reductions at a news conference in Geneva. The officials said the two sides set up consultations to continue discussing their trade issues. Bessent said the triple-digit tariffs the two countries imposed on each other last month in an escalation of tensions Trump started amounted to the equivalent of an embargo, and neither side wants that. We do want trade. The delegations met for at least a dozen hours on both days of the weekend at a sun-baked 18th-century villa that serves as the official residence of the Swiss ambassador to the United Nations in Geneva. The 30% levy that America is now imposing on Chinese goods includes an existing 20% tariff intended to pressure China into doing more to prevent the synthetic opioid fentanyl from entering the United States. It also includes the same 10% baseline tariff Trump slapped on imports from most of the world's countries. The 30% tax comes on top of other levies on China, including some left over from Trump's first term and kept by former President Joe Biden. Trump ratcheted the combined tariff to 145% last month, furious that China retaliated before backing down Monday. China's Commerce Ministry said the agreement lays the foundation for further cooperation. This initiative aligns with the expectations of producers and consumers in both countries and serves the interests of both nations as well as the common interests of the world, a ministry statement said. Middle East, Hamas releases hostage soldier. Militant group frees Israeli-American as goodwill gesture to U.S. It's articles by Wafa Sharafa, Sami Magdi, and Tia Goldenberg, Associated Press. Deir al-Balah, Gaza Strip. Hamas released an Israeli-American soldier Monday who was held hostage in Gaza for more than 19 months, offering a goodwill gesture toward the Trump administration that could lay the groundwork for a new ceasefire with Israel. Idan Alexander, 21, was the first hostage released since Israel shattered an 8-week ceasefire with Hamas in March and unleashed fierce strikes on Gaza that killed hundreds of Palestinians. He was handed over to the Red Cross and then to Israeli forces before being flown by helicopter to a hospital in Tel Aviv. Israeli authorities released video and photos showing a pale but smiling Alexander in an emotional reunion with his mother and other family members. Alexander was 19 when he was taken from his military base in southern Israel during Hamas's cross-border attack on October 7, 2023, which set off the war in Gaza. Israel promised to intensify its offensive, including by seizing the territory and displacing much of its population again. Days before the ceasefire ended, Israel blocked imports from entering the Palestinian enclave, deepening a humanitarian crisis and sparking warnings about the risk of famine if the blockade isn't lifted. In Alexander's hometown of Tenafly, New Jersey, hundreds of supporters packed the streets holding signs with his image and listening to speakers blasting Israeli music. Israel says 58 hostages remain in captivity, with about 23 of them said to be alive. Many of the 250 hostages taken by Hamas-led militants in the 2023 attack were freed in ceasefire deals. Hamas announced its intention to release Alexander shortly before U.S. President Donald Trump is scheduled to arrive Tuesday in the Middle East on his first official foreign trip of his second term. Trump, who is traveling to Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and the United Arab Emirates, is not scheduled to stop in Israel. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's office said Israel did not grant concessions for Alexander's release. Hamas-led militants killed 1,200 people in the 2023 attack. Israel's retaliatory offensive has killed more than 52,800 Palestinians, many of them women and children, according to Gaza's health ministry. Israel's offensive has obliterated vast swaths of Gaza's urban landscape and displaced 90% of the population, often multiple times. Well, we've come to the end of the first half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review. For Tuesday, May 13th, 2025, we'll take a short break and return with the second half hour.